the power of God. Ephesians 3, we're going to jump in a moment to verse 14. Next week I won't be here. I'll be preaching at Bible Baptist Church in Huntersville for Pastor Rob McKenzie. That is a neat thing with Pastor Josh being here. We've tried to be a blessing to other churches when pastors need to go away or have some other thing that they need to do, and so that will be a blessing. Also next week, Lord willing, Richard, they're in Utah this week with Ron, and actually not with Ron. They're babysitting the kids while Ron and Mackenzie are celebrating their anniversary, having a little time away alone. So pray for their safe trip back. And Lord willing, Richard will be talking to the church family as far as the transition. Praise the Lord for Pastor Josh and the family here. And so I had a good deacon meeting, and Josh and I have been meeting regularly in things and really seeking to turn things over. And so that is a good thing, and looking forward to that. And we're going to have a business meeting to vote on Josh becoming senior pastor. And so all these things are coming up, and change is a part of this life. And so looking forward to that and excited about what the Lord has for us. Prayer. I say all that in the province of God because I don't always pick the theme for the year. Always run things by the deacons and things, but this year I picked it as a transition year. And this is kind of like, I don't know how to say it, but this would be something, not that I'm planning on dying or leaving, but with the change, this is something that I believe the Lord led us to, and these verses, kind of like parting words, if you will. And this really is the crux of it today. That's why I picked it as the theme verse. And so this passage and all, and obviously the last three chapters are about practical outworking of the rich doctrine that we've been taking a look at in chapters 1 to 3. But accessing the power of God. Didn't know exactly how to put that, but as we think about transition and the church is people. And what is the purpose of the church? What are we supposed to all be about? I really appreciated in Sunday school, and the comment was made as we thought about Jericho and the fall of Jericho, and the application was made not by me, and I won't embarrass anybody, but you know, it's not all about America, it's about God. It's not all about me and my circumstances. It's about God, and it's about God and His church. And so I think about that with prayer and accessing the power of God and the love of Christ. So just wanted to kind of give that, Lord willing, we're going to continue on through Ephesians here and finish that up, but looking forward to what the Lord continues to have for us. So let's take a look at this. Look at verse 14 there. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. I would really challenge you. I have been, it's one time in prayer and in Bible reading and study that it's not bad to be selfish. to earnestly seek to get what God has for you alone. Not to be thinking about your mother, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, but first and foremost to think about God and yourself, because the very best thing you can do for every situation and for every person is for you yourself to grow in Christ-likeness. So by seeking God's will for yourself, that is the very best thing you can do for every situation, every person in our lives. And so I would encourage you, as I've been praying this for myself and for you all very specifically, sometimes we do say, and it is difficult, we run to Romans 8 and say, I'm not even sure how to pray in this situation. But I tell you what, you can pray this scripture right back to God and know that you are praying in accordance with the will of God. And I would challenge you to do that. What a wonderful prayer request, and not just for yourself. I was going through today and just praying it for everybody in this church. It is a right prayer. It is a wonderful prayer. And God loves to answer prayer. Amen? And so we praise the Lord for that. So let's pray right now. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for preserving your word for us. It is pure. It is perfect. You are an example to us, your Son, your Spirit, the divine enabler. And so, Father, as we think about this, Lord, may it not just affect our minds, our brains, but Father, may we, whether we bow physically our knees to you or not, Father, may we today as a local assembly bow our hearts, our wills, and our minds to your Holy Spirit taking and enabling us to grow in Christ-likeness, not to draw attention to ourselves, but that we would let our light shine in this dark world, that folks may see our good works and not be drawn to any attention about us, but that they would glorify you, our Father, and be drawn to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those who are brothers and sisters would be encouraged in their walk. And Father, we revel in the fact that we have the privilege and responsibility to be used of you in such a way. Lord, help us to grow in effectual, fervent prayer. We ask for your help, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can think about all that's gone ahead here in Ephesians and all the wealth that we have. All the wealth, I don't mean as Americans, I mean as Christians. We are so spiritually wealthy. All that going on before, for this cause. For the cause of Christ, is there not a cause? Yes, there is. God is long-suffering. Why is he waiting? Why has that trumpet not been heard yet? Well, it could be heard today, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. And so Paul here, God through Paul, is saying, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of bowing, I think of Jericho, as we've been talking about Joshua, you know, and Christophany, and just falling down, John on the Isle of Patmos, just falling down before God. And when here, specifically in our text, Paul considers the majesty of God and his worldwide, wow, how can you make him big enough? But in our hearts and minds and wills, his worldwide work of redemption in Christ and all that he has done and all that he is doing and all that he will do. He responds in really the only appropriate way, by humility, by adoration, by worship of God the Father, the great King, our Sovereign. You know, whether we actually bow our knees is not the important thing. That we bow our hearts and will to the Lord is the vital matter. And notice verse 15 goes on and says this, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That has been very special to me in this past year, as I've mentioned a couple times about thinking about many loved ones in our church family that have passed away to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom the whole family. It's not just the saved here, folks. There are folks in heaven waiting to be reunited with us, to say it will be worth it all, and we see it right now because we are living in purity in a way that you cannot experience until you get here to heaven in the very total absence of sin. What a blessing. You know, to be named in biblical usage refers to the definition of one's identity, and I think about the first small group that Pastor Josh taught about our identity in Christ. Of whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named. To be named in a biblical usage here refers to the definition of one's identity. God the Father, the Creator, the Sovereign, God of gods over all, the Creator of all things is the one who names. In other words, defines the identity of all creatures. Our spiritual life comes only from God. What is life? What is the meaning of life? Well, Jesus Christ. That's it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. As Creator, God is the Father of everyone. That is true. And indeed, we can go to the end of that. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue ultimately will confess. And I often think about that. And even with prayer, our opportunity right now is to confess over and over again His sovereignty, His perfection to worship Him. And bow our knees, our hearts, our minds, and wills voluntarily. What a blessing. What a privilege. So as Creator, God is the Father of everyone. But as Savior, God is only the Father who believe and have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jesus Christ, John 8:44, it sticks in my mind. As he spoke to religious people, those specifically who are called Pharisees, not that all Pharisees are lost, but he said to them, as only he can, because he knows the hearts, he said, ye are of your what? You're of your father, the devil. That is a hard truth, but everyone walking around today spiritually has either their father as God the Father or as the devil. And we have chapter and verse on that. That is a hard truth, but it is true. family in this verse that we're talking about from our text must speak of spiritual family, as only saved folks are in heaven. We are all a family because we have the same spiritual Father. He is the source of all creation, the rightful owner of everything, and He promises His love and power to His family, the church. It is no wonder why the church is under attack. All right? It's because God knows that we need the local church. We need family. The church is under attack. The family, wow, is that under attack? What is the family? We'll go to the Word of God and find out. No matter what is legislated, no matter what folks say, and not condemning about that, what can the unsaved know apart from God? Foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, so there's no condemnation. The challenge is to us to grow, as we just sang, in living out a growing intimate relationship with Jesus Christ in our families, in our church families. Is there not a cause for this cause? Yes. An effective prayer life, accessing the power of God. If you want to receive God's blessings, it's important that we stay in contact with other believers. Why? Because the grace, mercy, and peace of God is at work in their lives because they know you in the local church, and they'll still love you because of Jesus Christ, not that you're lovely, just like in your own family. And that's being thrown out too, right? Hey, toss it out. Toss out the relationship. You know, it's so important that we get saved by grace. It's not our works. It's so important we stay saved by grace. It's not our works. God loves us not because we're lovely. God loves us because of Himself. And if we will grow in that, then our relationships, which are challenged, even though we're saved here, will be growing to be more. Well, that's unnatural. Why don't you just dump her? Why don't you just throw out that kid? Why don't you abort this child? Why don't you shoot this person? What's the answer? I will not, because they're made in the image of God. I will not, because thus saith the Lord. I will not, because there's a heaven to be won and a hell to spurn. And that is the ultimate reality. We want to receive God's blessings. It's important that we stay in contact with other believers in the family of God. Because just like in the small nuclear family that we have in our own homes, the church is made up of so many, and we know each other. And we can really pray for one another because we know each other. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're in this to prove that in and of ourselves, there's nothing special about ourselves, but there's something special about our God. There's unity. There's union with Christ because of salvation, and unity, the blessing. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I'll tell you what, as an older, I'm in the youth of old age. You know, just the union we have in Christ and the blessings we have in our country and the freedom in this earthly country to be able to assemble still. There's a lot of problems, but there's still a lot of blessings. And our churches. I don't know about you, but I hear about so many churches going down, so many difficulties when there's a transition. Really appreciate our men saying it is rare to have attrition, a transition be going as ours is going here. Just like the baton, that baton is crucial. And so I keep saying to our men, you pray for Pastor Josh and his family, because the devil surely would like to trip them up as they seek to take on the pastor of this local church. We need to be in prayer one for another. What a blessing to think of our saved loved ones who have gone before us to heaven, and that we with them are still and forever will be part of the same spiritual family. And what a reunion someday that will be. Amen. That is a great and true thing to look forward to. So there's some prayer requests here. I don't know if I can say that they're just five, but I put five on the sheet there for you. Prayer request number one, Lord, I would like to be spiritually strong. And God says, amen, I would like you to be spiritually strong as well. What does it mean there in verse 16 of chapter 3? That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We can pray that, God, strengthen me with might by Your Spirit in my inner man. What does that mean? To be divinely enabled to successfully live the Christian life. You know, it really is true. If God grants you long life, He also grants you more challenges in many ways that go along with that. We will eventually lose physical strength. But in Christ, we can always be spiritually strong. What if you turn back a couple pages to 2 Corinthians 4, just so that we see this? We'll not run all over the place. We'll pretty much stick in Ephesians chapter 3. But I'd like you to see this for yourself. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. And notice this starts out, "For which cause?" And of course, this was written to the church at Colossae, the Christians, those that were in Christ in Colossae, just like Ephesians was written by God through Paul to the Ephesian Christians. This one is in Corinthians, the church at Corinth. And God as well used the Apostle Paul to write to them. 2 Corinthians 4, sorry for the confusion, verse 16. "For which cause we want, we faint not." Do you see the parallel? Because of all these local churches and God using Paul to write to them. So at Corinth here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," the outward perishes as a result of sin, "yet the inward man is" what? "It's renewed." How? Day by day. And God throws along the illustration. Oh, I sometimes pray for myself and others. If you don't eat, if you don't drink physically, you're going to notice it pretty soon. And a good prayer is that when we don't eat spiritually, when we don't drink of the water of life, that God will reveal that we are emaciated, that we are sick, that we are yielding to our flesh, the world system, the old devil. We cannot lose our salvation, but we can surely lose the effectiveness that God wants us to have to be salt and light in this world. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." That's how God talks about 70 or whatever the years of our life are here on this earth, "worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." God tells us that the outer man is perishing. He knows there's pain, there's suffering, there's difficulty. These old bodies, they're going down. Why? Because we chose to sin. Yes. And God chose to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us, to give us a new body someday, a spiritual body, but to leave us here to show forth the difference that He makes and continues to make in our lives. The outer man is perishing, but the inner man can be renewed spiritually in spite of outward physical decay. It is the inner power that can make Christians succeed. Look at verse 16 back in Ephesians 3, "that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." Wonderful scriptural prayer to pray for yourself. Pray it for your kids. Pray it for your grandchildren. Pray it for your parents. Pray it for your neighbors. The Holy Spirit applies to believers the personal presence and power of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the life is evidence of salvation, Romans 8 and verse 9. But the power of the Holy Spirit is the enablement for Christian living. And it's this power that God desires for us. He has not left us here to sit and soak. He has left us here for the cause of Jesus Christ, to show forth Christ until we're with Him. And we can grow in that day by day until finally one day we shall be with Him, and then we will be like Him. What a blessing. What's the inner man? The inner man is the true person, the mind, but also the emotions and the will. It includes the new life which God implants in us when we receive Christ as Savior. We need strength. We need spiritual strength to speak the truth in our minds, to speak the truth in our emotions. God made us with emotions. We need to be angry sometimes. But we need to be careful that if our emotions go contrary to the Scripture, that we don't let our emotions lead us, but we allow God to lead us through His Spirit, through His Word. Get our emotions in submission to God and His Word. We need spiritual strength in our minds and our emotions. We need spiritual strength for our will, for our volition. Often I think when I, it's going on in my mind, I know what I want to do. It's like, usually it's like, yeah, I know what I want to do, but I also know that it's not what God wants me to do. I want to do what my flesh wants me to do. I want to give that person a piece of my mind. I want to be sulky. I want to complain. I want to complain about the rain. I want to complain about the snow. I want to complain about the heat. I want to complain about... And that's kind of simple stuff, isn't it? I want to be spiritually strong that others could see Christ in me and not myself. We need strength in our minds, emotions, and will so that we can serve God. The world system, our flesh, and the devil will constantly attack and weaken these areas of our lives. A strong Christian is one who is strong in mind, will, and emotion, spiritually strong. The strength comes from the Spirit of God. Prayer request to be spiritually strong. Second prayer request, that Christ may, and a key word here is dwell. That Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ already is in Christians. And God is using Paul here specifically to write to the Ephesians, but also to us. So if you're saved, Christ is in you. He's in you, but is he dwelling in you? Indwelling power. It's interesting. Verse 17 really expresses the result of verse 16 here. It's kind of a building, a kind of a chain link here, if you will. Christ will dwell in the lives of those who are recipients of the Holy Spirit. Jesus already lived in the Ephesians. This letter was being written to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, just like it's written to us, the church at Steam Valley Bible Church here, to all Christians. The word dwell, it's pretty simple. It means to settle down and be at home. when Christians are divinely strengthened, verse 16, then they will live the kind of life that God desires. It will not be natural. It will be supernatural. It will be divine power. It will not be by our works, it will be by God's work in and through us. When we please God, Christ will then be at home in our lives, the Holy Spirit. And as a permanent guest, he will enjoy living and indwelling us. To be at home with. Be not just saved, but in fellowship with our Lord, progressing in sanctification, being set apart, being used more and more for the glory of God. Less attention to me. I really love that. It's not about America. It's about God. It's not about Jericho. It's about God. It's not about me. It's not ultimately about our church. It's about the head of this church, Jesus Christ, and the difference that he makes. Prayer request to be spiritually strong. Prayer request that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. Prayer request number three, that I be rooted and grounded in love. And we are unquestionably talking about biblical love here. Not what the devil tries to foist upon someone. Not what the world system says is love. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. God is love. 1 John. God is love in perfection. Saved folks are rooted and grounded in scriptural love. Love is the natural and necessary outcome of a living faith. And is the fruit of Christ's work in a Christian. Love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit of God. Once Christ dwells in a person, at least two things will happen. We'll be able to comprehend, understand the breadth, length, depth, and height of Christ's love. We'll be able to know, experience the love of Christ. We're going on there. Look at these things. I'm going to repeat them again. Prayer request to be spiritually strong, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I would be rooted and grounded in love. Would you take the challenge and pray these things for yourself? Fourthly, that I would comprehend and know the love of Christ. Verse 18. First part of verse 19. To better understand, how can you put it in words? Well, just the scripture, the enormous love that Christ has for us. To be overwhelmed with God, who he is, and his love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Comprehend. Godliness leads to greater understanding of God and his works. We could go to some of the Psalms, but I won't take time to. In God's providence, we just finished working through a chapter about this past Wednesday night. You know, prayer meeting is traditionally the least well-attended service. You don't have to have prayer meeting. No chapter and verse on that. But how's your prayer life? We have a devotional usually on Wednesday nights as well. And the chapter that we finished this past week is entitled Love's Full Extent. In a book that's been a great challenge to me, entitled Loving the Way Jesus Loves. Going through 1 Corinthians 13, and the applications are killing because I need to have my flesh mortified. I'm tempted to go and start doing that message, but I won't. So in our text here, can we really comprehend the width and length and depth and height of God's love? Well, it's a prayer request that God has preserved in His Word for us. God's love is total. It reaches every corner of our experience. To come to any understanding at all the dimensions of God's love, we need to come to the cross. Is it Romans 5:8? But God commendeth or showed or demonstrated or manifested His love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know that whole phrase that's been popular? How could a loving God allow whatever? And I have all I can do to kind of school my features. Because what I want to say in my flesh, and it wouldn't be God's will, is how dare you say that God does not love you when He sent His Son to die for you? You know, the cross pointed in four ways, essentially in every direction, because God's love is wide enough to include every person. It reaches to the whole world. For God so loved, just Steen Valley Bible Church. Nope. For God so loved the world. Do you know who loves you and what this whole world knows, needs to know? God loves you best of anyone at all. More than anyone else, more than your mom, more than your dad, more than your kids, more than you fill in the blank. God loves you more and best than anyone else. God's love is wide enough. It covers the breadth of all of our experiences. God is in it, even though it might not look loving. It's just like the parent who will bring chastening upon a child. God's love is long enough to last throughout all eternity. Oh, when we get to heaven and see the Lord Jesus Christ. God's love is deep enough to reach the worst sinner. It reaches to the depths of discouragement, to the depths of despair, to the depths of even death, physical death. The trials of our lives test the depth of our spiritual experience. God's love is high enough that it rises to the heights of our celebration and elation. God's love is high enough to take us to heaven. When you feel shut out or isolated, remember that in Christ, you can never be lost to the love of God. You can sleep on that. Another hymn to God's immeasurable and inexhaustible love, the best commentary in Scripture is others. You know it, Romans 8. I'll just read it, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, are you persuaded? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you in Christ? Are you saved? Do you know it? Verse 19, back to our text, Ephesians 3. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Oh, America's been given so much. Sometimes we get heady. Sometimes we get kind of mental, don't we? We think so much of our knowledge and our technology and our science, and aren't we smart? And God has a comment on that in 1 Corinthians 1 as well. He says, the greatest wisdom of man is foolishness when compared with God, and the greatest power of man is weakness when compared to God's omnipotence. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. To know, K-N-O-W, always think of Adam and Eve. And Adam knew his wife. We're talking about intimacy, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just to know the love of Christ in our head, but to K-N-O-W him. Experientially. I'm glad to know the story of Joshua and Jericho, and that's a true story. It's not Disney World. It actually happened. But oh, our kids are in holy desperation to see God working in our lives. It's great to know the Bible stories, but it's great to know the family stories. It's great for our kids to know that they need to have their own story of God working in their life. And first and foremost, that is salvation. Those little children are sinners. Unless they receive Christ as Savior, they're headed for a crisis of eternity. They need to come to a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Interesting. As we think about these things, to know Him experientially, beyond mental facts, to personal intimacy, manifested in a changed and changing mind. I don't think the way I used to think. Yes, when something comes across my plate that I don't like and I wouldn't have chosen, what God brings to my mind, and I certainly haven't arrived, is God has chosen this for me. And so by faith, I ask you to help me to glorify you with this. That's a good prayer. A changed and a changing mind, heart, and will. Let's review. Prayer request: to be strengthened with might by God's Holy Spirit, my inner man, to be spiritually strong, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I would be rooted and grounded in love, that I would comprehend and know the love of Christ. To know what surpasses knowledge is a sublime privilege of the Christian. Our Sunday school class today. Come to Sunday school. Come, don't come for me, come for God. Do you suppose, as we think about Joshua and those guys walking around that city, that they had a personal experience of God and His power and His love, and that they were reminded that in and of themselves they can do nothing, but in Christ we can do all things? Yes. Yes, go beyond the story and the truth of the story to how that applied to them. What were they thinking? What were the folks inside the city thinking? What were they thinking as they were going around? This is crazy, humanly speaking. Yes, humanly speaking, it's impossible. Ah, that reminds me of a verse. With man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. To know what surpasses knowledge is a supreme privilege of the Christian. What is your experience with Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God this past week? How has He enabled you, divine enablement, to respond to a situation not as your flesh wants you to, not as the devil wants you to? Did you pour in the oil of the Spirit? Did you allow the Spirit to work in and through you? Or did you fall? And if you fell, okay, we all do that too. Did you confess that as sin and receive forgiveness and thank Him for that? A just man falls seven times and what? Riseth up again. The unjust man falls and keeps just falling. Riseth up again with a fresh reminder, do this in remembrance of me, that I'm not just saved, that I'm right with God in fellowship with Him. A fresh reminder of who God is and who am I. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Prayer request, that I would be filled with all the fullness of God. The purpose ultimately is to be filled with God's fullness. That the life, the character, the virtues of God Himself may be growing and developed in us. Filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit indwells us, but the knowledge, the understanding, and experience of Christ's love then helps us to be filled with all the fullness of God. Christians, it's a prayer request preserved in Scripture. If you're saved, we can be filled with all the fullness of God. I sometimes tease and get a smile on, but after the Lord's Supper, it's like, okay, let's just stop. We've all allowed the Spirit of God to examine ourselves. If there's been any sin between us and God, we've agreed with God about it. We've confessed it. As best as I know right now, I'm not only saved, but I am in fellowship with God. Let's just stop. Because probably the moment I walk out of here, my flesh and stuff is going to kick in. So let's just revel in this moment. As best as I know how, I'm right with my God. Don't talk to me. Don't challenge me. this friend is this world is no friend to sinners. How about it? Our flesh. There is spiritual warfare. If you're not aware of it, ask God to help you be aware of it, because it's there. Christians, we can be filled with all the fullness of God. No Christian ever has to worry about having inadequate spiritual resources to meet whatever demand of life that you are facing. God wants us to experience His fullness. It helps me sometimes to flip things around for my pea brain to understand things a little better. When a person is filled with unrighteous anger, that unrighteous anger is said to control him. Yeah, been there, done that. When a person is filled with alcohol, that alcohol is said to control him. When a person is filled with God, he is yielded to God controlling him. God's goal, given to the Ephesians and us through Paul, was that these people completely be filled up with and controlled by God. Such a thing could only happen when they understood and experienced Christ's love. This understanding and experience of Christ's love only comes when Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And that only happens when we are strengthened by His Spirit, the inner man. So let's just kick back here a little bit and think. Do you understand the love of Christ? Have you experienced the love of Christ? Are you living as if Christ is dwelling in you? Because if you've received Christ as your Savior, He is dwelling in you. Chapter and verse on that one. Christ in us, the hope of glory. How about this? Are you weak or strong in your inner man?
Oh, I'm strong. Oh, I'm weak.
You know, the truth is, if you're saved, sometimes you're strong in your inner man, and sometimes you're weak. Recognize it. None of us have arrived. When we get to heaven, we'll be like him. Sometimes folks like to say, oh, that's a weaker brother. Guess what? We all have weaknesses, spiritually too. And you know what? The devil likes you to think that you're just weak, period, that's it. That characterizes you. You're just a weak Christian. Well, we all have weaknesses, but we all have strengths as well. Let God enable you to blossom and flourish for Jesus Christ. All these things are like one big chain. If any one of the links in the chain is missing, it doesn't work so well. The ultimate goal for every Christian is that God would completely control us, and that is totally dependent on the other things that God mentions here in this passage. How are you and I doing with the chain? And look at this. It's kind of like, this is impossible. You're right. Yes, with man it's impossible. But look at how this part ends here. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to what? Do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Omnipotence. The power most fully demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has power over death. Amen. Death is not the end. He has power over hell. He has power over the grave. I certainly don't love death, but as a pastor, sometimes you get to be at the grave of a loved one, and having just read their testimony of trusting Christ as their Savior, you can say in the authority of God's word that that body has been planted. But that body will be raised and changed, be reunited with that soul and spirit that we so miss. And someday, if we are saved, we will be reunited together on the authority of God's word. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He allowed a harlot to be in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In the scripture, God has preserved for us murderers used of God. Paul, hauling folks into prison. Moses, murderer. Paul, murderer, adulterer. Don't allow the devil to convince you that you cannot serve God. All he needs is someone who's willing to yield to his divine enablement. If you've been born again, God's power is working in you. God's power is not just sitting there. God's power is working in you. And sometimes when we grieve, quench, lie to, or reject the Spirit of God, you know, it's kind of like... So ask God about that. I try to make it happen. Lord, how have I grieved your Spirit today? How have I lied to your Spirit today? How have I lied to myself today? You know, we have not because we ask not. If you just be still and ask God, how have I quenched your spirit today? You know what he'll tell you. You ever had a kid come to you and say, hey, Dad, what am I doing that's wrong? Well, you're just impregnating a lady. You're not supposed to do that unless you're married. But there's forgiveness with God. So there's a choice you can make right now that is right in accordance with God's word. Or you can suck your thumb and say, it's all right, I'm going to do what I want to do. And keep making a mess. Out of life. It's not so much the sin that we commit, it's what is done about the sin that we commit. Jesus is the ultimate example in that. Will we avail ourselves of the humility to agree with God when we're wrong? And the grace to walk with God when we're right? Grace to live, grace to die. The same power that works in us is the same power that saved us and gives us victory over sin, and it's the same power that answers prayer. In making the request here in this prayer, Paul has not asked for too much. For he prays unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Look at verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church. What's the church? Just like the government. It's not some obtuse thing. It's people. So could we personalize this? If you are saved, unto him be glory in me by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Think about this. Unto you, God, be glory in me by Christ Jesus. Glory in me by Christ Jesus throughout all ages? What does that mean? Think about this. What you and I do in God's power today will glorify Christ throughout all ages. That's an amazing thought. May we increasingly live for the glory of the Lord. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You'll notice on your handout there I put, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that worketh in me. There's a reason why we're meditating on these verses. I would challenge you to memorize them. I would challenge you to pray them. I would challenge you to seek God and ask him to help us as individuals, as a church, to grow in living these things. What gets in the way? Unbelief, unconfessed sin, careless living, worldliness in action or attitude, all of these things can rob us of the power of the Spirit of God. God says, boom, without me you can do nothing. But with God, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is jealous of his glory. It's all about him, not about me, but we have the privilege to be used of him. Notice here, God is able to do all, above all, abundantly above all, exceeding abundantly above all. And he wants to use you and me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Prayer accesses the power of God. How are you doing with your prayer life? What have you asked for this week? It is fine to ask for healing of cancer in God's will, and I'm not at all making light of that, or you fill in the blank. But I think of some, if I could just give this illustration, they take a great stand and really help out with abortion and then tell them that some work that they do gets them to heaven. It's like, not to be ugly, but wow, to save someone for this earthly life and then to tell them something that will only, if they believe it, send them to hell for all of eternity is sad indeed. You have not because you ask not. Let's get our minds and wills on our spiritual wealth by opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit and pray as God through Paul taught us to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I would be rooted and grounded in love of Christ, that I would be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ, that I would be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a song, Come My Soul With Every Care. If you'd put that up for us, Steve, there.